4, verse 38. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Joseph Meeker is going to lead us in prayer as we continue with our worship. Let's all bow at this time. We'll go to our Father in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunity to come together today and worship you. Please be with the Carroll family and Linda Nelson and Faye Brown and all the others that were mentioned this morning. And be with them and comfort them. And if it be your will, nourish them back to health. And we're so thankful for Steve and the work that he has done with us and his family in their time with us. And please keep them safe as they journey on to their next destination to continue your work in Coeur d'Alene. Please be with us during this hour and help us to keep our minds on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Shall we begin our singing by singing Higher Ground? It's number 2 in your supplement. Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray, still have not found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Our next song is in the main hymn book, number 203, Above the Bright Blue. Following this song, Brother John Hicks will lead us in prayer.
There's a beautiful place called heaven. It is hidden above the bright blue. For her good from her ties are riven. Christ the Redeemer, to his followers faithful and true. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our sight. Beautiful city. Whether soon the glad summons shall be, but we know when we pass o'er the river, the glory of Jesus we'll see. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our side. Beautiful city of light.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, keenly aware of how fortunate we are as Christians here in this land to be able to come and offer worship to such a wondrous Lord as you without the fear of intruders. Father, we pray that this will always be the case. But Father, we pray for the ones that do not have the same opportunity this day and have to do it in secret. Father, we pray that as we prepare our minds today to worship you, that we will put away all the thoughts of this world. As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, help us to remember your Son in the manner that we should, Father. Father, as we listen to Steve's lesson this morning, help us to think about what he's got to say to us about the hope of heaven, Father. Help us to be mindful of what a blessing that is. And if there's anyone here today that does not have that hope, Father, we pray that it will pierce their hearts, that they may someday have that opportunity. Father, we pray that you'd go with the men who have prepared themselves this morning to conduct this service, and the things that they say and do here will be most pleasing unto you as we make this feeble attempt to worship such a wondrous Lord as you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In just a moment, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper, but before we do, we will be singing song number 378. As we're thinking and singing about our hope in heaven, and if we look, as we look forward to Steve's lesson about that this morning, shall we sing about the one who made it all possible, the solid rock. And oh soul, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning on this first day of the week around this table to remember your Son Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to come and to live among us and to live a perfect life and to die such a horrible death so innocently, so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And Father, as we partake of this bread now, we pray that we can all set our minds on that day and on that scene and remember what it means to us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Great song that was that we sang just before the Lord's Supper. Did you know it's from before the Civil War? It's really old, but it's got some amazing truths in it. From the things that in the chorus, with the songs we sing in the kids' Bible classes about building our house on the rock and not on the sand, to the fact that in verse 1, Jesus' blood and righteousness is our hope and our source of salvation. And then the second verse, that there's going to be times in our lives, even after we're Christians, where there's going to be storms that are out of our control, and it's going to be hard to just weather them, but he will get us through. And then verse 3, there's going to be times in our lives as Christians where our souls will crumble around us, and we won't be strong, and we'll need to look to Jesus for strength and forgiveness still. And then verse 4 reminds us that he is coming again, and we need to be found in him, whether that be at the trumpet sound, because we're still alive when the second coming comes, or when we are raised as the dead in Christ. And so it's a great song. The scripture reading is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, if you'd like to follow along. Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again so thankful for the many physical and material blessings that we have in this life and in this country. We know, Father, that everything that we have is from you, and we thank you for everything. Lord, as we now take up this collection so that the work, your work, can continue here, we pray that we would all do so with right hearts and minds. We pray, Father, that the funds collected will be used with wisdom, Father, in furthering your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Our next song is in the Red Supplement, page number 44. If you would like, shall we stand as we sing The Tree of Life?
When God speaks, my heart fills with faith that makes me whole. I'm listening to God's holy word, seeking that place of refuge for my soul, where there's a tree in the garden. And the tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy in the shade of a tree. Garden in God's paradise, grow branches of mercy and grace. Wonderful branches, arms of God's great might. Wonderful branches where I'll see. Tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy in the shade of the tree. I believe that the tree of life one day I'll reach, and where it grows waits there for me. Joy of its fruit comes from the home I crave, with leaves of healing and eternal day. And the tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy, in the shade of the tree of life.
Please be seated. The song after the lesson this morning will be number 287 in our hymn book, There's a Fountain Free.
Good morning. It's a real blessing to be here, but it is hard to face the fact that this is the last time, at least as your evangelist, I'll be standing in this pulpit. And I was get to thinking about, well, what to teach on this occasion. And as you think about it, as I think about it, and there are some here I may never see again in this life. And the sad reality is there may be some here that I will never see again in this life or the next. May the Lord forbid that be true, but we need to be careful because if we forget who God is, if we forget what God has done for us, that is the reality. And we need to be vigilant to enter into that promised rest that God has given to us. This is why I want to end by just giving a reminder. I know we know it. And that's what Peter says in 2 Peter 1. He said, I know you know this. I know you're certain of these things, but as long as I'm with you, I will remind you. So I want to talk about things we should never forget, things that we should not let slip from our mind. And the first thing we need to remember is where we stand. Never forget where you stand. What I want to do this morning is just look at a few scriptures that are really just these little peeks behind the scenes, these little peeks into the grandness of God's plan for us, the grandness of what God has done for us, and to help us to remember where we are, what God has done for us, where we stand. And so the first one is, let us remember where we stand. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, he says, you haven't come to a flaming mountain, in verse 18. You haven't come to Mount Sinai with the smoke and the fire and the loud voice and the law coming off that you can barely listen to. He says, you haven't come to that place. But, verse 22, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Here's a reminder to us. Remember where you stand. We look around. We're in a familiar setting with people we recognize. But what we're being told is, you stand on Mount Zion. You stand in the city of God. You stand in the New Jerusalem. You stand in the place where Hebrews 11 tells us, all the faithful men who went before, you stand in the place they were looking for. You are in God's city. Well, I don't see it. That doesn't mean you are not standing in that city. That doesn't mean you are not where we stand today. And when we sing and give our worship, our voice is being added to the voices of myriads of angels, uncountable angels. He says, you have come to the myriads of angels. You have come to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn. And this idea here is, here we are in Salem worshiping God. But where we stand is in the assembly of every faithful person on this earth, all together on Mount Zion, raising our voices to God in a thousand different ways. Imagine the throne of God on the peak of this mountain, and this choir around, this orchestra, or this weave of all these faithful, some of them in sadness and suffering, raising their voice to God for help. And then that voice transforming into the voice of joy and gladness when we remember the hope that we have. Those crying out for forgiveness of sins, and then the transformation of the voice of peace because they have confidence those sins are forgiven. Voices crying out because they realized the goodness of God in their life in a new way. The voice of those, not just the assembly like ours where there's many people, but as John Hicks prayed about, there are people in countries where they hide in groups of three or four and get together in great peril and threat. And although they feel like they're hiding alone, they are in the general assembly at the throne of God, raising their voice with our voice. And as we think about this, and as I think about parting ways, we will not stop worshiping together. Because I might be in a different place, but our voices are going to be praising the same God. Not just our voices. He says, the faithful, what's it say? He says, you have joined the church of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, verse 23, to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect. I can think about, when I was preparing this, I was thinking about all those people just from our congregation that I know of who died faithful. And now they are the righteous made for the spirits made perfect. When we raise our voices in praise, we are joining it with theirs, with Al Craig or Bob Brown or Carla Skills or Gene Ellington and Tom Ellington, and just go down the list. They are raising their voice with us in that city. And all of us stand sprinkled with the blood of Christ, which speaks better than the blood of Abel, not crying out for vengeance and justice, but crying out for mercy because the price has been paid. Let us not forget where we stand. Let us not forget what is just behind the thin veil of our perception that is in heaven, that God has told us is there. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. This scene that was being described of us, we don't see it, but I am convinced it is there. And I am convinced that is where we stand. I'm convinced when I move to another place, when I raise my voice to praise God, whether in the assembly or even on my own, that my voice will go up to God mixed with your voices. And one day, it won't be with a veil. It'll be because we're together again. So let us not Let's not forget where we stand. Let's not forget what we have in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 7. says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." Paul says, we have not been given a spirit of cowardice. That's what that scripture means. It says, not a spirit of cowardice. In Bible study, on Wednesday night, teaching the kids, we just recently read the story of David and Goliath. And David, this small man compared to Goliath at least, youngest of eight brothers, a shepherd boy, young, he doesn't just walk into battle or slink into battle or mosey. I don't know how, all these different ways. He runs into battle against this Philistine shouting, "The battle belongs to the Lord." He knows the power that is behind him. And what Paul tells this young preacher Timothy is, we were not given a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Each one of us bears witness to the power of God. Each one of us has had God work in our lives in a powerful, convincing, amazing way. Each one of us has experienced the miracle of forgiveness. When God forgives our sins, there is no greater miracle. Remember in Mark 2, when they lower the guy through the roof who can't walk, and Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He works this great miracle, but he's like, so that you may know, so you might have a certainty that this did happen, I say to you, get up and walk. The smaller miracle was get up and walk. The greater thing. And each one of us has experienced that. Each one of us can tell the story of our walk with God, how we went from darkness into light, what caused that to happen, what impact that had on us. And then as we learn to walk in the light, each one of us can tell the story of how God's Word changed them. Of how, when they messed up, they saw clear, I need Jesus Christ. I need the power of Christ in my life because Christ is the only way I can stand. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, don't forget about that, Timothy. Don't sell short that testimony. And don't forget that when you bear witness to Jesus Christ, it comes with power. It comes with strength. Last week, Kelly asked us, how would you tell someone about Jesus? Now, it may be strange to sit in a group and talk side by side, but we need to learn to put words to that story and learn to recite it to one another. So we can encourage one another, but then go out and share that message with the world. How is the gospel working in your life? What difference has it made? What does it look like? What does it look like? What can it look like for you? And that's what Paul says. He says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul says, join with me in suffering. We are not saved in spite of the suffering. We are saved through the suffering. We are saved through it because it causes us endurance. It gives us faith. It helps us to see the goodness of God. And Paul says, go through it, Timothy. Don't fear away. Don't shy away. Don't forget the power that is in that message that you've accepted through Jesus Christ. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to his purpose and grace. Our testimony is the story of what Christ did for us. Because we could never have done anything to accomplish what He accomplished. And Paul says that's how Jesus Christ called you. He called you and He gave you this gift. He gave you the gift made sure by Christ's appearing, verse 10, who abolished death and brought immorality to light through the gospel. He brought it to light. It was always there, but He showed us. And so as we consider, what do we have? We have the testimony of Jesus. We have experienced it in our life. And it has power, not just for ourselves, but to those who we share it with. To those who we encourage with it. And we need to tell that story faithfully. Don't sell it short. Don't think, well, that's just for me. Paul says, join with me in this. Let's tell the story of Jesus and how He saved me. And help, let that story help save others. The third thing we should never forget is where we are going. In Philippians chapter 3, I appreciate this insight because as we consider Paul, who dedicated every part of his life, I mean, in really an impressive way, in service to Jesus. He gave up everything to serve Him. And while Paul is in the end years of his life in prison for the gospel, and he's telling, here's where I stand with God. He says, not that I have obtained it already or have become perfect, but I press on to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. He says, I don't have it. I'm not there yet. I still have work to do. And if Paul can say that, at the end of his life, each one of us can say that where we stand right now. Not that I've laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I like this. I forget what lies behind. You know, we're talking about never forget. What Paul is saying is when you are looking backwards, you forget what's in front of you. He says, I forget what lies behind. He's like, if you want to talk about someone who can brag, I could brag. That's what he says before this. I could brag. I had everything to be righteous according to the law. But in verse 10 and 11, he says, I gave all that up so I could have the faith, that the righteousness that comes through the faith in Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness I want. I don't want a righteousness that's based on bloodline and family and keeping a law and all these things. I don't want righteousness that comes through that. I want that perfect righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I gave up everything else so that I can have it. And one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. None of that matters. And I look forward to the goal. I like this picture. You just see the winding path, but you can see way off in the distance. That's where I want to go. And I'm going to stick to that goal. I'm going to keep my eye on that goal. I'm going to forget what I've done and just keep going forward. He says, I reach forward to what lies ahead. It's the idea of someone trying to win a race. Just every arm motion, every step is the longest step you can take because you're reaching forward to what lies ahead. And it doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter how much it takes from you, what you lose along the way. Because I guarantee when you reach that goal, then it will all be worth it. None of the cost will matter. Verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call that is in Christ Jesus. He's like, I am waiting for the upward call. Recently we talked about Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God for 300 years and then he was not, for the Lord took him. Enoch got the upward call. Moses got the upward call. Jesus got the upward call. All these faithful men and that are now with the Lord, they got the upward call. And Paul says, I press on until the day I hear the upward call. And so he says, let us, therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude. And if anything you have is a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. He says, you will grow in this process. But don't let your growth or need for growth discourage you from doing what you know. Keep reaching upward, keep reaching forward and waiting for the upward call. Let's not forget where we are going. And finally, let's not forget our purification. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read in 9, but I'm going to back up a little bit because Peter gives us a thing to do. In verse 4 it says, verse 5, now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's our verse. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Never forget your purification. Never lose that testimony. That is what we talk about when we say our testimony. It is that Jesus forgives my sins. But he also says there are some who forget that. And they stop reaching forward and keeping their eye on the goal. And they stop adding to their faith. And he's like, if you stop adding to your faith, it's going to cause you troubles. But if you forget your purification, you're going to have troubles. But read verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing of you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In this way, we started out saying, it is just a reality and a fact that the possibility exists that when I leave, there may be someone here I never see in this life or the next. But Peter says here, if you remember your purification, if you are diligent to make certain of his calling and choosing of you, if you practice these things, then entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Entrance will be supplied abundantly, and you won't have to worry about that. And that's what I want for me and for my family, for my brethren here, my family here in Market Street. That's what I want. Paul Hawthorne, my mentor, in a sermon once, he was talking about going to heaven, and he's a little closer to it than I am, but he was talking about going to heaven. Maybe his wife told him this, but he said, if I get there before you, I'll meet you at the big tree. I appreciate that thought. I think about that. We know there's a tree of life there. We sang about that just before I got up here. We know that big tree's there. And if you get there before me, I'll look for you by the big tree. If I'm there before you, look for me there. We'll meet up there. We'll pick up where we left off. We'll share our stories. We'll talk about our victories. And we'll praise God together again. I appreciate so much what you all have done for me. It was such an exciting blessing for me to come here and to start serving God as an evangelist and to have that opportunity. And looking back, I just didn't know anything. And I had a long, probably still have a long road in front of me, but your encouragement, and really, it's special what your encouragement has been to me. I've known other preachers who say, well, no one says anything to me about my preaching. But every week, for sure, almost every week, someone has said, good job, Steve, even when I know it wasn't a good job, because they are encouraging. You have been encouraging to me. You've built me up. You've helped me get past the challenges that come in the beginning of starting something new. And it is just a special thing that you've done to me. And my testimony, my story of what God has done for me, you are woven into that fabric. You are part of that story. It's funny to think I was baptized in this building years ago. And I remember I went into this room here and someone said, you want to be baptized? Yeah, I think so. No, don't think so. You either want it or you don't. Do you want to be baptized? Yes, I do. I remember that and I appreciated making sure, giving me that chance to say for certain, this is what I want. And it just, that's part of my story. And then coming here again, my first time preaching in the same building with this group of people who have been such an encouragement. You'll always have a spot in my heart. And I love this family very much. And I just want to thank you for the time we were together. And we'll miss you. We'll miss you dearly. It'll be the hardest part of it, all of this, is just having to say goodbye to friends, say goodbye to people that I've grown to love so much. And that's not just for me, but for my whole family. We love you guys so much. Every one of us has said in this process how much we're going to miss the people here at Market Street. And so thank you for giving us the love so we can say that and just mean it with all our hearts. If you're here this morning and you need to take the steps towards God, whether you have not joined the Lord in accepting His call to baptism and forgiveness of sins, or whether you have fallen short and you just need encouragement and direction and your walk with God. If you're here this morning and you need that kind of spiritual help, I'd invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain of love between this Lord you and me. Let us hasten to drink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come? to the fountain free. Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not going to say a word. Shall we close with prayer? Brother Dick Neville will lead us.
Almighty God, our Holy Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you in public worship to praise your name and sing songs of praise to you and offer our prayers and hear more of your word. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the sacrifice Jesus made for us. And we have thank you for the hope of eternal life that we have through his resurrection. We pray, Father, that we never forget the belief that we hold and the hope that we have of eternal life with you if we follow Jesus. We pray, Father, that you keep us safe and watch over us and bring us back at the next appointed time. And we ask you to keep us safe throughout the day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.